Boy, that's a great word. Saved. I like it. Saved is a Bible word. Don't ever be afraid of that word, saved. Don't ever be afraid to ask somebody, are you saved? Saved from what? Well, then you can tell them. Yep. Amen. Saved. How many of you remember when you first got saved? I'll tell you what. It is so hard for me to believe. Blondie, it's been 20 years since I got saved. I'm telling you, it's just, it's amazing. And I remember getting saved. I remember it like it was, by the way, sidebar, Miss Scotty, great, great table here. Grace. Praise God for His grace. I really gave it to Grace Bittinger yesterday. I said, what are you doing, taking over the communion table now? I mean, we had your open house. Is that enough? Amen. Grace. Thank God for His grace. I remember being that sinner in the pew and just knowing I was a sinner, but then hearing there was something I could do about it. Telling you what, man, I feel like I'm not from the South. I see those guys run, and I think most of it's for show, but I could do this, can't I? Amen. And nobody will get offended. Hallelujah. I tell you, I remember what it was to be saved. And to be saved from something. It's important. Listen, it's important when we deal with people, whether it's here at the altar, in the back room, or on a doorstep. It's important that they understand that they're a sinner and need to be saved. I've said it before, brother. Old Don Green up from Lansing, been pastoring 60 years, Parker Memorial. He said, no conviction, no conversion, and that is 100% right. You're not convicted of the fact that you need to be saved, you will not be converted. Amen. And I thank God for what He did in my heart. And I remember I got saved, and then I remember the Lord working in my life. And I used to play soccer on Sundays and Sunday morning. And I remember going to my coach and saying, Coach, Jim, I can't play anymore on Sundays. And he said, why not? I said, you know, I'm going to church now. I got saved, amen. And I remember him saying, well, you're the goalie. I mean, we need one of those. We only have one of those, amen. And I said, well, you have to find somebody else because I'm not going to be able to make it anymore on Sunday morning. That's when they have church. Hey, teenage parents, parents of teenagers, that's when they have church. That's when they have church, amen. It's not time for Johnny's soccer game and Susie's softball game. That's when we have church, amen. And I remember just God moving in my heart and working in so many ways and going to the altar. It seemed like every service. It seemed like every service the pastor preached on something I was doing wrong. Because you know what the truth is? I was doing a lot of stuff wrong. Amen. Well, he didn't know anything I was doing. He's just preaching the Bible. And listen, you preach the Bible enough, you shoot out enough shotgun pellets, some folks are going to get hit. Amen. And I came up to here. I thought this was the place where you got healed from your wounds when the preacher preached. Amen. And I went up here and praise God, went up and had God deal with my heart, the Holy Spirit deal with my heart. I thank God for that. And I'm going to tell you something. There was joy in my heart. It was joy. It was a joyful thing. I remember when the pastor came to me and said, would you consider leading Awanas? Pioneers, Brother Jim. Pioneers. And I said, what's an Awana? I thought it was a curse word. I said, what's an... I don't know what Awana is. But you know what? I was glad to do it and I had joy about it. I had joy. It was unbelievable that the pastor would ask me to serve. It was amazing. And I remember I had three boys in the class. Eric Tharp was one of them. And Johnny Pellin and Buddy Kernicki, who none of you know, amen. I just had these three kids. It was basically a preacher's kid, a deacon's kid, and a friend of the preacher's kid and deacon's kid. You want to talk about three rotten apples, amen. I had a Bible that the pastor gave to me. It was a Rice Reference Bible. It was a hardbound. And when those kids would get out of line, don't tell anyone, I would just wrap them right on the forehead with it. Amen. And they just sit there like this. And by the end of the year, I was afraid they're going to have flat heads. Amen. From all the times I wrapped them on the head. And you know, going back to those early days, just getting saved, reading the Bible and realizing that God was trying to speak to me, my heart was filled with joy. Amen. And it was so joyful to be saved. You say, well, I got saved at 5. You can still have joy. Amen. I got saved at 10 years old. And I didn't get saved out of... Hey, be joyful about that, amen, that you haven't dove into the depths of sin. Oh, I thank God. Joy. Joy is a Bible theme. Let me give you a couple verses. Go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, church. I'm sorry if I'm getting a little excited tonight, amen. But boy, I'll tell you what, the title of my message is Let's Get the Joy Back. And you know what that means? That some of us have lost it. Some of us have lost it. John 15, look at verse 11. Lord Jesus Christ speaking here. And He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that My joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Can I tell you this? Jesus Christ desires that you as His child would be full of joy. Full of joy. Absolutely. Go over a couple pages, John 17 and verse 13. And here we have the Lord's Prayer. I know many of us know the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven. But this is truly the Lord's Prayer when He was on earth praying to His Father for His church, for His disciples. Amen. And He says in verse number 13 of chapter 17, and now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have what? My joy fulfilled in themselves. You see, believers can have joy imparted through the very Word of God. These things I speak that they might have joy. These things right here. These things can bring you joy. There's so many occasions for joy in the Bible. I'll just reference them. If you want to make notes, go right ahead. When the temple foundation was laid, many of the old men wept and many were filled with, they shouted for joy. Ezra chapter 3 verse 12. The creation of the world, the Bible says, when the morning stars, it's a term for angels, shouted for joy. When the earth was created, when everything was created. How about the birth of Christ? I bring you good tidings of great what?
Joy.
Joy. Amen. Joy. The resurrection of Christ. Remember, they departed from the tomb with great joy. The ascension of Christ. They looked and as He raised up, they were filled with joy. How about this one? A sinner's conversion. Hey, we had two folks raise their hands today, said they asked Jesus to be their Savior. You know what happened up in heaven? There was over one sinner that repenteth. Joy. Hey, how about Acts chapter 5, verse 41? Remember that? When they beat them for preaching Christ? Remember that? And what did they do? They departed and with joy that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name. Hey, remember old Paul and Silas, after they had been beaten and put in prison? They rejoiced. They sang praises at midnight. I'll tell you what, you don't do that if you don't have joy.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, so many. We could talk about poverty and 2 Corinthians 6:10 talks about the joy of their deep poverty. Trials, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 13, 12 and 13. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. A Christian, listen to me, if you don't hear anything else I say, get this. A Christian can have joy in the deepest valleys of life. Happiness depends on happenings. But joy is from God. You can still have joy. The Apostle Paul wrote the book of Philippians, where joy and rejoicing are mentioned no less than 19 times. As a matter of fact, it's called the Epistle of Joy. He wrote that from a Roman prison where at any moment he could receive his execution order. And yet, you know what he said several times in that epistle? He said, chapter 3, verse 1 of Philippians, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 4, he said, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Philippians 2:2, he said, fulfill ye my joy. Philippians 4:1, he talked about those Christians in Philippi. And you know what he called them? My joy. Joy. Psalm 51, getting back to our text there, head back there, is what is called a penitential psalm. And it chronicles David's heart reaction after Nathan confronts him head on about his sin. And you remember what happened, ladies and gentlemen. I'll not tell the whole story, but David was walking upon the housetops and he saw a woman washing herself and he asked who it was. And one of his men said, that's Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. That's somebody else's wife, O king, amen. And he went and had her called anyway, committed an immoral act with her. And then her husband comes back from the battle and he tries to cover it up. And you remember all the things he did to try to cover it up, but it didn't work. So he sent Uriah back with his own death warrant in his hand. He told Joab, he said, put Uriah to the hottest part of the battle. And then once it gets hot, have everybody pull back. And Uriah was dead. He thought he covered it all up. God revealed it to the old man of God. I don't know if Nathan came in on a staff. I always picture somebody like Dr. Malone, amen, probably because he was just that sweet old man of God I knew that just seemed to have a little more of the touch of God on him. And Nathan came in and he said, let me tell you a story, David. There was a rich man and a poor man. The rich man had many flocks and herds. The poor man had one little ewe lamb, was like a family pet. And somebody came, a wayfaring stranger came to the rich man's house and he said, I'm hungry. And the rich man went and he grabbed that poor man's lamb and slayed it and cooked it and he said to David, what do you think ought to be done to the man? David got mad. Oh, he got mad that somebody would dare do that. He said, the man that done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold. Nathan stuck out his bony, crooked, elderly finger and said, thou art the man. You did it. You took your neighbor's wife. And you committed adultery. You had her husband killed. And David realized what he did. It had been a year, folks, at least a year. And this psalm is David's reaction when he was faced. Hey, by the way, let me just say this. Never, never be upset with a man of God who preaches on your sin.
Amen.
Never.
Amen.
Don't do it. You say, has it ever happened to you? Just about every time I sit under preaching, it happens to me. Amen. The preacher will preach on something and the Lord will speak to my heart and say, that's you, big boy. That's you. That's you. That's you. And I don't ever want him to stop that, Miss Judy. Amen. I always want him to say, thou art the man. Thou art the man. Because when you know thou art the man, you can do something about it. Hallelujah. When you say, oh, he's not preaching to me, he must be preaching to my neighbor. Hey, think of the old song, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord. Amen. And standing in the need of preaching. Amen. Hallelujah. This is a penitential psalm. It is the bearing of a man's heart after failure. Never forget that. It is the bearing of a man's heart after failure. Other than Isaiah 53, I do not think there's a chapter I have read more in the Bible than Psalm 51. I'll just be transparent with you folks. I read it after I fail God. You know what God shows me over and 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 over? You depended on yourself, didn't you? You weren't dependent on me. You thought you could handle it, do that yourself. And here you are again, failing. David had failed God miserably in ways that most of us will never fail God. But I promise you this, if you fail God, your sin is still sin. I want to give you the body of the message tonight. Let's get the joy back. David lived the joy of salvation. He did. David lived. Restore, if you look at Psalm 51 and verse 12, that's our text verse there. It says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore means that at one time he had possessed it. Otherwise, it'd be stored. But he's asking for it to be restored. Let's take a joyful journey through the Psalms of David. Go with me back. We'll just go through the Psalms today. Psalms 5:11. Go to Psalms chapter 5, and then we'll just move through the Psalms here, what David had to say. And you'll notice in each one of these, it is David speaking, a Psalm of David, right at the beginning, Psalm 5. Psalm 5:11. What does David have to say here about joy? He says, "But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice," a synonym of joy. Amen. "Let them ever shout for" what? "Joy. Because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be" what? "Joyful in thee." You got rejoicing, you got joy, and you got joyful all in one verse there. David had it. David knew what it was to have the joy of the Lord. Okay, Psalm chapter 9, probably not even a page over. Psalm 9. Verses 1 and 2 says, "I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high." Jump down to verses 13 and 14. "Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me, thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation." David had joy. He's going through difficult times. Read the Psalms. He's going through difficult times. If he's not on the run from Saul, he's on the run from Absalom. Amen. We're in Psalm 9. Let's go to Psalm 21. Verse 1, please. "To the chief musician, a psalm of David," who was the king, amen. "The king shall" what? "Joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation. How greatly shall he..." And what's the punctuation mark, church? Exclamation point. "How greatly shall he rejoice," amen. Psalm 21:1. How about Psalm 27? Psalm 27, another psalm of David. Verses 4 through 6, I'm just going to go ahead and read. You catch up when you get there. "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing," yea, "I will sing praises unto the Lord." Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Verse number 7. Another psalm of David here. He says, "For I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble, thou hast known my soul in adversity." Psalm 32, probably not a page over, verses 1 and 2. You want to talk about something to be joyful in? "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whom whose spirit is no guile." There is no guile. Verses 10 and 11, please. "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked." I underlined this verse yesterday. "But he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord," and what? "Rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." Psalm 35. Psalm 35, verse 9. Psalm 35, 9. "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in His salvation." Now we got to go a little way. Psalm 68. Psalm 68. Pass our text there. Psalm 68. Verses 3 and 4. It says, "But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly Rejoice. Sing unto God. Sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Yah, and rejoice in Him. David knew joy. He knew what it was to have joy. He knew the joy of God's power. He knew the joy of God's presence. He knew the joy of God's deliverance. He knew the joy of assurance. He knew the joy of forgiveness. David had lived the joy of salvation. Number two, though, David lost the joy of salvation. Again, that word restore, back in Psalm 51, that word restore means that it was not presently with him. Can I give you just by way of sub-points tonight, some reasons I believe that people lose joy? I believe, first of all, the Spirit's absence causes us to lose joy. There are people that sit in churches that have no joy. Now listen, just because you've got a grouchy face doesn't mean you have joy, but I wish you'd tell your face about it occasionally. Amen. Yeah, listen, some people are just... I remember so many times, Dr. Malone. Doc, smile, Dr. Malone. I am smiling. I mean, that's just how he was. Amen. But I'll tell you this, there are probably millions of people sitting in churches that don't have any joy because the Spirit of God does not reside in them. Their name is on the church roll, but they're not saved. Don't ever expect to have joy if you're not saved. Don't do it. It's not going to happen. Amen. By the way, that doesn't mean there won't be any sadness and sorrow. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But the Bible talks about how if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. You say, well, am I saved? Am I saved? Can I go back to a time? Listen, the Holy Spirit will let you know you're saved. The Holy Spirit will let you know. He'll take that word. He'll confirm it. He bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. But can I say this also in that? Not only the Spirit's absence, meaning Him not dwelling there, but us trying to serve God in the flesh.
Amen.
Listen, you're not going to have joy. You're not going to have joy because you know what? You'll get tired. You know why? Because you're doing it all in your own strength and your own power. Listen, again, we mentioned this morning, Mary and Martha. You know why Martha didn't have joy? Was she was just serving God in her flesh. Just getting things done. And listen, we can be like that sometimes, church. Come on, come on, come on. We can be like that. We can serve God just in our own power and our own strength when we need to say, Lord Jesus, please help me and fill me, amen, with the Spirit. So the Spirit's absence will cause us to lose joy. Can I tell you this? A serious mistake will cause us to lose joy. Just read this morning in Ecclesiastes 10:1. It says, as dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to stink, so is folly in him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. You know, there's a lot of preachers today that are out of the ministry because they made a serious mistake. They cast their eye upon somebody that wasn't their wife. Amen. And you know what? They lost their joy. Because listen, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. The gifts that God has given me, the calling of God has given me, God is never going to change His mind about that. Never. Never going to uncall me to be a preacher. But I could disqualify myself.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
I could. Today, tomorrow, I could disqualify myself. I hope I'd never do it. You pray for me. Amen. And I want to do my best to walk in the path that God would have me to walk in, to be holy before Him. But there's a lot of preachers, a lot of Christians that made a serious mistake. And it cost them their joy. They never intended it to cost them their joy. But it cost them their joy. You say, doesn't God forgive? He sure does. He sure does. And churches restore. But you listen to me, especially in this area of ministry, pastoring. If I did something like that, I would disqualify myself from pastoring. And don't you ever call a pastor. You better listen to me. I'm your pastor. I hope I'll be your pastor your whole life. But if for some reason God took me away, don't you ever call somebody who's gone through that. Because the Bible says that it should be a man of one wife. Be a man of one wife. Don't listen, don't try. I've had people say, I think it's talking about polygamy. Well, let's be safe.
Amen.
Let's be safe. Let's take the safe position. Amen. A serious mistake will cause us to lose our joy. You know, a sly, false teacher can cause us to lose our joy. Listen, I've known people. I've talked to people. I've counseled with people. I've helped people. Somebody said, you know what? I just think, you know what? You can lose your salvation. They just say, I just feel like it. And they give me a couple of verses, and somebody taught them that, and they spend their whole life with no joy because they never know the assurance of salvation. A sly, false teacher can steal your joy. You be careful of them. Amen. By the way, we're careful of them around here.
Amen.
We keep an eye out for them. Hallelujah. They get to in a place, get in a position, try to wiggle themselves in a position of authority. Man, I'll have the security team take them and kick them out of here. Amen. Just right out the door. We won't even have a business meeting on it. Amen. We'll have the security team have a meeting. Hallelujah. How about this one? I'll tell you, this one has probably stolen more joy from people than just about anything. And that is a service refused. God touched your heart to do something. And you said, you may even not have said no, but maybe you said not now. God told Saul exactly what he wanted done with the Amalekites. And Saul did what he wanted. And the man of God came to Saul and he said, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. Then in the next chapter it says, and the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit came upon him. Not going to have joy there. Listen, I've known people. Oh, God helping me. I've got names that are coming to mind. Nobody would know them. That literally, in Joshua, I believe it's chapter 3, where the priests were to bear the ark and go over the Jordan. And the Bible says as soon as they put their foot in the water, that the rivers of Jordan were... I have seen people that laymen that God touched for service, and I've watched them, Mr. Perry, literally lift their foot to put it in the Jordan and never put it down. Never put it down into the Jordan. Those waters were ready to part. God was ready to do miracles for them. And you know what also leaves the joy? Because they refused the service of God. Boy, listen, folks, I know we get self-will and stubborn. If God taps on you for service, don't refuse. He doesn't call the powerful. He empowers the called.
Amen.
He does. A service refused will cause joy to depart. Can I tell you something, folks? Sorrow of heart can cause us to lose our joy. Proverbs 18:14 says, a wounded spirit who can bear? Sometimes that thing that just comes up upon us and just grips us in that deep sorrow of heart, we can lose our joy. You say, is that right? I don't know if it's right or wrong. It's just real. It's what happens. You say, shouldn't we have joy? Yes, but until you've walked through that valley, why don't you just pray instead of judging?
Amen.
Amen. But I think probably most of all, the number one cause of loss of joy is a sinful hardening. A sinful hardening that takes place. Hebrews 3:13 tells us to beware lest any of us be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. One of the great characteristics of our youth pastor, and he has been this way since I've known him as a 13-year-old boy, is he has a tender heart. He's had it all the years I've known him, a tender heart toward the things of God. He won't tell you the story. His mom will tell you. I'll be glad to tell you. About the year he won a bike for VBS and gave it to the kid that came in second place. It's just a tender heart. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. The reason most of us lose our joy is a slow hardening process of sin. Amen. Amen, Pastor. That's good preaching right there. Amen. You don't have joy? Ask yourself, what stole it? What stole it? Because we all should have joy.
Yeah. Amen.
David lost his, obviously. We know why he lost his. Amen. Sin. Sin. But David lived the joy of salvation. Number two, David lost the joy of salvation. And thank God for this. Number three, David longed for the joy of salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He wanted it back. He wanted it back. Sin had stolen the smile of God off David's life. Sin had stolen the smile of God, and he wanted it back. All right, here's a simple application, church. How do we get our joy back? How do we get our joy back? Acknowledge our sinfulness, first of all. We have to acknowledge our sinfulness. You're there in Psalm 51, I hope. Look with me at verses 3 and 4. Acknowledge our sinfulness. It says there, "For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, the only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest." Listen to me. Keep short accounts with God. Keep short accounts with God. Don't let sin pile up. If you're bitter towards someone, listen, confess it to God, because it's a dirty, filthy, wicked, rotten, black sin to be bitter against somebody. Oh, I thought we were talking about adultery and murder, Pastor. I didn't realize you were going to be talking about my sins. Well, get used to it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Bitterness is a wicked sin. Gossip is a wicked sin. Unforgiveness is a wicked sin. Criticism is a wicked sin. Amen, amen, amen. You know what you're going to have to do? If you're going to get that joy back, first of all, you got to want it back. You got to want it back. Some Christians are just plodding along and say, "Well, it's just the way I am." Amen. "I was just born this way." I always ask somebody that says that. "I was just born this way." I said, "Did you get born again?" Because that'll cure that thinking. Amen. No, you got to acknowledge our sinfulness. And then secondly, number two, you need to ask for cleansing. That's what David did. He realized that, look, I don't have any joy. I haven't had any joy since I committed that awful act, since I had that man murdered. I haven't had any joy. And listen, if you think you can live in sin and have joy, I'm telling you, somebody else is giving you joy. It's not coming from God. And I'd be checking my salvation out right about then too. You can just live any way you want and still think you're having joy. No, sir. No, ma'am. Ask for cleansing. Verses 1 and 2, David says, "Have mercy upon me." You know what he said? "Please don't give me what I deserve." That's what mercy is. Not getting what I deserve. "O God, according to thy loving kindness, because you're so loving, God, please don't give me what I deserve." You say, that sounds like a pretty rotten prayer. Well, David had done some pretty rotten things. He says, "According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." He asked for cleansing. Why don't I have any joy? Have you asked God to forgive you? Have you asked Him to cleanse you? Well, no. Well, you have not because you asked not. James 4:2. Well, let's get back to the basics here, folks. Most time it's our sin that steals our joy. Why don't we ask God to blot it out? He will. If you confess your sins, that He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And listen, we don't add to the Word of God, but I can take that verse and say, "And restore my joy." Because of sin. Ask for cleansing. Acknowledge our sinfulness. I love this one. Oh, this is so good. This is where most of us don't realize why we can have joy. Verse 7. Purge me with hyssop. Again, that's the cleansing. And what does he say next? And I shall be clean. And then he says, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Acknowledge our sinfulness. Ask for cleansing. Accept God's forgiveness by faith. That's it. I don't feel forgiven. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. If you ask God to forgive you, He did. We had a student at Midwestern Baptist College. Still working with kids today. I thank God for him. I see him on Facebook occasionally. Had one of the most infectious laughs I can ever remember. He would start laughing and everybody would start laughing around him. He came to Bible college. He literally got saved about this time of year and came to Bible college. It was incredible. I think he'd been saved about a week. And he went to Bible college. We were just like, wow, I thought I was green. Hey, man, this guy was as green as, I don't know, early June corn. Hallelujah. He was green. Amen. And he came and he messed up. He committed a sin. He denied it at first. And he came back with tears in his eyes and he said, I did it. When he denied it, Dr. Malone was going to kick him out of school, just say, you know what, pack your bags, you're done. And some folks talked to Dr. Malone about it and got some counsel and said he'd been saved a week before he came to Bible college. This was probably just part of his life. I'll never forget Dr. Malone saying, I was in the leadership of the student body and a young man came in sniffling and eyes were red from crying and he knew how much he had let God down. And this young man came in and he said, I did it. I'm sorry. I'll take whatever punishment you want to give to me. Fine. You want to kick me out, kick me out, I'll go home and I'll do my best to come back next semester. And Dr. Malone said, that tender, awful, gravelly voice, amen. He said, no, son, we're not going to do that. He said, you've asked for forgiveness and it's behind the back of God. And let's just leave it there.
Amen.
You know where that comes right out of the Scripture? Isaiah 38:17 says our sins are behind His back. The only ones that aren't back there are the ones we haven't confessed to Him. If you've asked Him to forgive you, you got up this morning and you maybe had you and your wife were going at it and amen and you're like that guy I heard about. He said, you and your wife, do your words get crossed up? He said, nope, they fly so fast they never have time to get crossed up. Amen. And you know what you said to God? You said, you know what, Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive me. You know what He did? By the way, ask your wife to forgive you too. Amen. That's okay. You say no, then we get in another one of those word conversations. Amen. Accept God's forgiveness by faith. By the way, that's how you accept salvation's forgiveness.
Amen.
By faith. Why not everyday forgiveness? By faith. You know what? If you'll do this, if you'll acknowledge your sinfulness and ask for cleansing and accept God's forgiveness by faith, it'll repair our relationship with God. Psalm 66:18 says, go with me. I don't want to misquote it. Amen. I know it, but I don't want to misquote it. It'll repair our relationship with God. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That means, listen, if I don't have joy because of my sinfulness, let's just get the sin taken care of. Let's just get the sin taken care of and ask Him to forgive me. And then it will not only repair our relationship with God, according to Psalm 51:10, go back there with me, Psalm 51:10. It's a great verse. I've prayed this prayer many a times. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. It'll not only repair our relationship with God, but it'll also renew a right spirit within us. Hey, yes, I have failed God, but I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. And I can have joy. And then really, thirdly, it'll reset our reaching out to sinners. Restoring the joy of salvation. Look at verse 13. Verse 12 says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." And then what is a byproduct of the joy of salvation? "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." Sometimes we see, and I've seen this many times in 20 years, and I think of those of you who have been saved 60, 70 years. Sometimes we see a sprinter Christian. How many know what I mean by a sprinter Christian?
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, they're just, I mean, they wake up and it's like they drank 8 cups of coffee, and then, "Hey, let's go pass out tracts. Let's do something. Amen. Let's do something for God." Amen. And we've seen enough of those people, and then 2 weeks later, the FBI can't find them. They're like a sparkler. And they just burned right out. Amen? But too many of us, now come on, this is where I'm getting home right here. Too many of us excuse our lack of joy and just brush the sparkler Christian aside and say, "Well, that's what happens when you're just all full of that." Come on, church. Let's have joy. Let's have joy. Yeah. Linda, listen, I know you worked hard in that kitchen this week, and it was hot, and there were probably some non-joyful moments. Amen? But you know what? Linda Kirkland won't do that every year for long if she doesn't have joy about it.
Yeah.
Miss Pat McGee, you work in the nursery. God bless you. You need joy to work in that ministry, sister. Amen. Now, I know those babies bring you joy for sure. Amen. But if you just do it, well, okay, I mean, that's just what I'm supposed to do. Hey, my security guys back there, you need to have the joy of the Lord. You need to have the joy of the Lord in what you're doing. Ushers, you need to have the joy of the Lord. Greeters, you need to have the joy of the Lord. Bus workers, you need to have the joy of the Lord, or you won't be in it for much longer. My goal is that we'd have when the Lord came back and He said, "Will He find faith on the earth?" That He'd look at Loomis Park Baptist Church and say, "Yes." Boy, they got joy. Boy, they're trying to get back to their first love. No, they're not perfect, but you know what? They're hitting the altar, dealing with sin, trying to have that right relationship with God, and go, "Let's get the joy back. Let's get the joy back. Let's get that." First, we talked about this morning. Let's get that first love joy back. I mean, just we love Him because He. Well, that'll give us joy right there. That'll be enough joy to get you through till next Sunday. Amen. And then come back and get some more. Come back Wednesday. We got extra helping of joy. Amen. On Wednesday. Let's get the joy back. Let's get the joy back. Amen. Father, thank You. I thank You for this church.